Hello, welcome to another episode of the Mindful Introvert podcast. This podcast helps you to get inspiration to manifest a life in alignment with your true, confident, and intuitive being. I'm Jo from mindfulintrovert.com, an inner peace and abundance coach, and my purpose here is really to help you slow down, look inwards, and create a more peaceful life by learning to trust your intuition and exploring your spirituality at a soul level. Ready to be empowered? Let's get on with the episode. Today's guest is Paul Zolman, the author of Love is God. In his wisdom, he placed us in a variety of circumstances that require us to find our way back to his pure love. So what qualifies Paul Zolman to speak about love? His childhood experience of the opposite of love. From that austere beginning and the distaste it formed inside him, he searched for and eventually created a method that transformed his life from anger to loving everyone. Growing up in a family of abuse, physical touch became his preferred love style, only because of the regularity. He could almost count on it. It was consistent. He came to think that was the way to express love. But deep inside, he knew that was a twisted belief. He wanted a better life for himself, which is why he created a paradigm shift that works. In this book, you'll find what helped Paul Zolman move from a childhood bootcamp of abuse to being a person who loves everyone and can find good about anyone in any circumstance. This is truly the role of love.
Why would you, in your right mind, focus on your problems or anybody else's problems? Do you really want them to be bigger? Mm-hmm. Just, when you think about it and put it in that way, stop. Just stop. Quit focusing on those problems. Focus on what's right about yourself. Focus on what's right with others. And, you know, just live the happier life. This is a better way to live life. It's just so much better. One other thing that I want to talk about on the cube is that After rolling the cube for 30 days, or at least 30 days, that's the kind of the sweet spot for developing a habit. Mm-hmm. You're making that 2-second investment. Everybody loves investments that you make. You put a very tiny bit amount in, you get a whole lot back. This is one of those things, and it works.
Are you feeling burnt out? Life is pulling you in 1,000 directions. Introducing Healing from Burnout, your guide to renewed energy and well-being. Reclaim your life, reignite your passion, and discover a path to renewed energy. In this ebook, you'll unlock proven strategies, mindfulness techniques, and expert insights to overcome burnout. Ready for a life filled with energy and happiness? Get Healing from Burnout today. Your journey to healing begins now. Visit the show notes and transform your life. Don't wait. Click the link now. Hello, welcome to another episode of the Mindful Introvert podcast. Today, I'm here with a very special guest, Paul Zolman, and he's going to talk about his book and his story about being a love language linguist. I'm very excited to learn about what he has to say. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you, Joanna. Such a pleasure to be with you today. I'm looking forward to this interview.
So would you like to share your story a little bit more about yourself so everyone knows you?
Sure. I grew up in a family that was kind of an angry family. I didn't realize I was so angry until about 15 years ago when I was dating someone. My first marriage, I was probably a contributor to the demise of my first marriage because of being angry. And I was just alone, and my sister introduced me to a neighbor of hers, and it was time we got serious, and it was time to take this neighbor up for Big Brother approval. And Big Brother lived 300 miles north of where I live, and so we went in there, and the first thing that happened is my sister-in-law pulled her aside and said, the only emotion that the Zolman family learned growing up was anger. At first I said, denied it. Then it made me mad. I thought, she really nailed it. And I realized that, we really were an angry family. And as I reflect on that, you know, when people talk over one another, that's kind of an angry thing. when people they have the put downs, that's an angry thing. The sarcasm could be an angry thing. And then there was just the physical abuse and the pushing around and all those things all happened within the family. But there was one thing, Joanna, that in our family that brought us together, and that was games. We played games. There was still the put down, the smack talk, all that, the competition, the strategy, all that was there. But we had a fun time playing games. I remember those days that after this incident with my sister-in-law that I realized that here's an opportunity to change the perception of the Zolman family. If that's the perception from outsiders, this is a perfect opportunity to change that perception. So I started reading some books and trying to move toward that direction. I read The Color Code and then started with the five love languages. And I really, really liked the principles of the five love languages. They resonated with me. I'm Christian. And Dr. Gary Chapman, who wrote the book, was a reverend or a pastor. And he said that they reconcile to the life of Jesus Christ. So I thought that sounds like a really good path to take. So I started working with that. But coming from the background that I came from, I didn't get it. I didn't, Dr. Chapman, you mean that if I guess what Joanna's love language is and cater to that, we're going to be buddies? I'm a bad guesser. It's not going to happen. The likelihood of that happen really wasn't there for me. So that didn't work for me. The second thing that Dr. Chapman has is that, well, if you take this survey, I can find out what my love language is. Mm-hmm. Well, what am I supposed to do with that? Advertise? Hello, Joanna. I'm gifts. What do you have for me today? Or I could put a button on my shirt that says, I'm gifts. I love chocolate or something like that. I mean, how ridiculous is that? It's so awkward. And I was already doing awkward anyway. When you see someone get angry in a public situation, it's really awkward for that person. It's almost like when if you've ever gone swimming and someone had an accident in the pool, everybody scatters. And it was like that. I was repelling people when I would get angry, and I did not want to do that anymore. I wanted to enjoy the company with people and spend some time especially the people that I love. So I needed to find a replacement behavior of what I was doing. And I realized what I was doing was stacking, 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 stacking annoyance on top of annoyance on top of annoyance until I had this flash of anger that I'd let it go. And then I'd go back down and I'd start stacking again. And I realized what I was being annoyed at. It was other people and what they were doing. Once I realized that, I said, why am I being annoyed at that? Because that's something I have zero control over. It's not my life. It's their life. It's their choices. Why am I even wanting to step on them as we did as a child? You step on people when they're talking and just stepping on people. But this time I was stepping on their life, stepping on their choices, trying to think that I had control or somehow had the decision-making power to help them in their life. I realized that's not my job and it's not my business. Once I stepped out of that and realized, well, what is my business? I decided I had an opportunity to either stay the same where I was by blaming other people. You don't move on the stick anywhere. You don't move on the spectrum anywhere when you're blaming someone else because it's their problem. Go talk to them. They're the ones that have to change. And you get this victim mentality that doesn't move you to be a better person, may move you to be a little bit worse, but it doesn't move you in the direction that you want to go by blaming somebody else. You got to take that responsibility. And I realized that at about age 35, that I had to take responsibility for my own actions. Up until that time, I was blaming my father for all these awkward situations because, you know, he's the one that started it. Who started it? I mean, and it's just that type of angry vocabulary and that kind of excuses that you give, you can't move on the stick. I had a choice to become more angry, didn't want to do that, or I could try to become more loving. And so the love language is really worked for me in that regard. of learning more about them, but it wasn't in the pattern that Dr. Gary Chapman had done it. I contacted Dr. Chapman and asked him, are you licensing those little icons? Because I had an idea. And his attorney wrote back and said, no, we're not doing that at this time. So I talked to a copyright attorney here in my city, and he said that theory, like the love language theory, is not copyrightable. Mm-hmm. Application is. So they didn't have it as a game. I thought, well, I liked games when I was a kid. Maybe I could make this a game. And so that's kind of what I did. So I created a cube that has the love languages on it. For the listeners, I'm holding up a cube that has two hands together forming a heart. And then there's a little conversation bubble outside of that. That represents the words of the heart or the words. For the next love language, I have a hand holding an hourglass. An hourglass is measure time. That would represent the love language for time. I've got a hand holding a platter. That would represent the love language for service. Two hands touching one another represents touch. And then a hand holding a gift represents gifts. Five love languages. There's six sides on the cube. The sixth side actually surprised me. So, Joanna, there's just two instructions. You roll the die every day. That's the love language you practice giving away all day that day. You're giving it away without any expectation of it coming back your way, but trusting the universe. There are laws in the universe that say that, if, like the law of harvest or law, karma or the law of attraction, that what you send out is going to come back to you sometime. Don't expect it to come back right away. It'll come back sometime. Just trust the laws of the universe that it'll come back. You know, contrast that with anger. I found out that sending an anger out, I got it right back. And it was worse, almost 10 times worse than what I sent out. I thought, this really is not a good pattern for life. It is not something I want to continue with, not something that really is going to be the road to happiness for anybody, not me, mm-hmm. not anyone, not my neighbors, not anyone. And so I thought, you know, as I'm rolling the die, I'm watching for people to light up. I'm practicing that love language all day that day. And when people light up, I realize that, hey, I may have stumbled upon their particular love language, what they like, their primary love language or secondary love language. No longer, Joanna, do you have to say, could you pause this relationship so that I can have you take this survey so I know how to love you? It's awkward. You don't have to do that anymore. You just use your observation skills, and that's how it works. So that's a little bit about me. That's how kind of how where I came from, where and kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah, thank you. That was really amazing to hear your story, and how, and there's another law of the universe that is the law of polarity. That is exactly you played with it, because you were sending out anger, and now you're saying, you know what, let me do the opposite of this. Let me send out love. Let me send out all of these love languages. So I really appreciate that. And so I wanted to ask you, what kind of transformation can people expect from using this dice and having one day sending out a specific type of love language?
Great question, Joanna. And let me answer it this way, that before, when I was angry, I was always watching for what's wrong with that person. Mm. Why can't they do something right? Being annoyed with that. And the new eyes actually say, what's right with that person? What can I love about that person? So it's really two different, absolutely diabolical directions, two mm-hmm. different directions. And I found out that most people are 80 to 90% really, really good. And they may have weaknesses or faults or just make mistakes 10 to 20% of the time. There are some people that feel like, and they are a professional, that professionals don't make very many mistakes at all. And so they're really good most of the time. And when I realized that I was focusing on that small percentage of that person, that 10 or 20% of that person that was wrong, and then realize I was missing the 80 to 90% that was good. And when I changed that focus, that changed my life. I needed that replacement behavior for the anger, and I needed that loving behavior to move away from being an angry person. And that is the transformation that people can expect. That it was really simple, that it just changed what you're looking at.
Yeah.
When you're watching for when you're watching for those things that you can love about a person, now instead of only 10% of that person, now you're looking at 80 to 90% of that person, and that, and there is a whole lot of good that you can see with just that one person. You're going to be so busy, Joanna, with watching for the good of people that you're going to forget that you ever were annoyed. You're not going to have time to be annoyed, and it's just going to be a whole lot better life for you. And that's what people can expect from this type of transformation. It's really a paradigm shift that really is necessary. You know, look at the what's going on in the world right now. It's rage. There's a lot of people that just, they get angry at the first annoyance. I was very patient, angry guy. I would take, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 steps to get there. But, and the stacking of those annoyances, there are very angry people that just get you know,
very fast.
You move in front of them while you're driving and you're too close to them, you know, or they'll speed up. And then they'll say, why'd you move in front of me? I was first. And, and just weird stuff that they're doing right now. We got to tamp down that anger. And this is a good way.
I love that. And I wanted to highlight some of the things you said, because you said that initially it was a choice that you had to shift your focus and find a replacement behavior. And I think that is absolutely key. And you said that it is simple. It's not easy, right? I'm sure that it was a process for you, but it is a simple process to start. It comes with a choice, and then it comes with shifting that focus, that attention. And because I feel like a lot of people have something that they dislike about themselves, and they shame themselves, they guilt trip themselves into thinking that they're not worthy, there's something wrong with them. And in actuality, all that they can really start doing is making a different choice and making a different focus and understanding that you're not going to quote unquote fix a problem by focusing so much on it, right? And understanding, oh, it was my childhood. Obviously, our childhood has a big impact in it, but we need to take charge and control of our life and of our future, and not allow our past to dictate who we are, right? And I think you did that amazingly, and something beautiful came out of it. So that's amazing.
Thank you, Joanna. I love what you said too. I like to compare it to a magnifying glass. Just any magnifying glass is going to make things bigger. Why would you, in your right mind, focus on your problems or anybody else's problems? Do you really want them to be bigger? Just, when you think about it and put it in that way, stop. Just stop. Quit focusing on those problems. Focus on what's right about yourself. Focus on what's right with others, and you know, just live the happier life. This is a better way to live life. It's just so much better. One other thing that that I want to talk about on the cube is that after rolling the cube for 30 days, or at least 30 days, that's the kind of the sweet spot for developing a habit. You're making that 2-second investment. Everybody loves investments that you make. You put a very tiny bit amount in, you get a whole lot back. This is one of those things, and it works. Absolutely works. And I on the cube, I created these pictures, because pictures actually kind of sear into the mind. You can remember, it's a memory hook. You can remember what you rolled earlier that day throughout the day. If there were words on it, it wouldn't be so meaningful, and you'd say, oh, forgot what that was.
Yeah.
But with a picture, it's going to stay with you.
Yeah.
By rolling the die for 30 days, you learn all 5 love languages. and you become what I like to call a love language linguist. It's a sexy title, Joanna. I know you want it. Have that smile on your face. Everybody wants to have that title. When you get that title, you just know all the love languages. You love to be a linguist. Who doesn't want to learn other languages? This is a way to become a love language linguist. It helps your communication, number one. Secondly, it helps your vision. It gives you that peripheral vision so you can see love when it's coming your way, even though it might not be, especially if it's not your primary love language. You see, oh, they're loving on me, and then you can respond appropriately. I'm sure I've missed a lot of loving opportunities in my life because it wasn't my love language, and it was, it was to the left or to the right of me. It was just another love language they were sending my way. I just didn't recognize they were loving on me. So this really, you know, opened your eyes a little bit.
Yeah. And from my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, we have within ourselves the ability to experience and give all of these love languages, right? So, and we have our primary one. So how can, because I'm thinking for myself, sometimes it is difficult. I don't remember to give out a certain type of love language. So, and I think this is a very good exercise to help us to practice this muscle of giving out this love in this form. But how can someone that is completely brand new to this, how can they practice and become more aware of the different types of love languages? Maybe you can give some examples of each of the type so that we can understand how we can start this.
Sure. So that's a great question, Joanna. That people to start, you'll have to look for suggestions. There's suggestions on my website. There's suggestions. Dr. Gary Chapman has some suggestions as well. But let's just go through it right now. For service, a person that likes service, and I want to make sure that we're following the right direction. This is you giving it away. So when you give it away, you're giving it away, hoping to find on that service day, you're trying to find someone that likes the love language of service. So while you're washing their car, or while you're vacuuming the carpet, or while you're taking out the trash, while you're doing those type of things, those service opportunities, you're watching for them to light up. So those would be types of service. Somebody might like to have a dinner made for them, and they light up when you make dinner for them. And that it was you that made the dinner. You didn't order out, or you didn't do anything. Or if you do order out and they like that you ordered out and they didn't have to cook, that's a service that you've done for them. So those would be examples of what service would be. For the words, just some people love to hear the compliments. I have a friend that, a couple that he knew that she liked words, but one day he rolled the gifts on the cube. And he thought, what am I going to do? And then it occurred to him, well, I'll just write her a note and wrap it up in a package. And when she opened the package and saw that it was a note and she loved the words, she was absolutely delighted. It worked perfectly. She lit up, and he knew how to light her up that in that way. So it could be a note. It could be just saying the words. What I've found that while I'm watching that 80 to 90%, Joanna, of what people, the good that people have in them, what I'm watching for is opportunities to express what I like about them. And when I express that, they say, well, oh, I never thought about that. I didn't know I had that quality. And for the very fact that I saw that in them and said it to them just made them feel really, really good that day. And they light up. So those are the kind of things you're looking on words. Of course, it includes the I love you, but it has to be more sincere and genuine. And ways to say I love you, or it doesn't have to be those words. It can be a lot of different words, and compliment them. It has to be genuine, though. For time, you're just looking to put your phone away, be present with that person, look them in the eye, and or just sit with them while they're watching a TV program. My wife loves K-dramas, Korean dramas. And they're fun because, you know, they're just really, really clean. I mean, if it's a romantic one, they're not even kissing until like the 9th or 10th episode. You're almost done with the whole season, and finally they kiss. And it's just all the things that lead up to that. It's really fun to watch. And so my wife likes that type of thing. She likes me spending time with her doing that. Touch, obviously, you're not going to be able to go in for a hug with everybody all day long. So you're doing the high fives, you're doing the fist bumps. Sometimes you might develop a complicated handshake, something that is a bond between you and just that person. You're the only ones that know that. You know how to do it, the 5-step or 10-step handshake, whatever it is. And to watch people do that, you know they have a bond between them. Of course there's the hugs, of course there's the kissing, of course there's the stroking of the cheek. There's all that included in touch, but it has to be appropriate in the situation. For gifts, I think gifts is really one of those things that's more of an umbrella for all the love languages, because you could do a gift of service. You could do a gift of your time. You can do a gift of giving someone a hug or even a smile. You can do a gift of a note or words. So it really covers a lot. Does not have to be something that's purchased at a store. Absolutely. In fact, the very best gifts are those gifts that are more thoughtful and created from the heart themselves. Did we cover them all? I think we did. I think we did it.
Yeah. And what would be the surprise? The surprise, you just choose whichever one you're more inclined to that day, or how does that work? A combination of some of them?
So really, Joanna, it's not about you. It's not so what you're inclined to do. It's what works in the situation. So you're
okay.
Always observing that other person. What does that person need today? And you'll be able to, as you work through this, you'll be able to detect what they might need for them to be happy that day. When you make someone's day, and make them and they appear very happy that you did something to make their day, it really, there's a satisfaction there that can't be gotten any other way. You just can't get it any other way. That's a payday for you as well, that you're sending something out that they really can't return, and or they might be able to return and make your day, but it really is not about that. It's about making their day and getting that satisfaction. Just can't happen. So on that surprise day, you're doing random acts of kindness and just watching for people to light up. You can choose any one of the love language or be observant. And it's really kind of that day that you're using all your skills that you just learned from rolling the die and watching all the different love languages, watching for people to light up. That's really the day that you put your skills to the test. That's test day, so to speak. But you know, people kind of have they don't like tests. A lot of people don't like tests, but this is test day. This is a day to test those skills, refine those skills, and see how far you've come, and watch and observe for opportunities to send love out in that way.
Yeah. No, that's great. Thank you. I think now everyone really understands what some examples of each love language might be and how to give out that love. And I like that idea of giving that love unconditionally, not expecting anything in return except to make someone's day. And even if it is not someone's preferred love language, you're still learning and you're still impacting someone to some degree. So I think that's a very good approach to all of this. So you wrote a book as well. Would you like to talk a little bit about it?
Sure. The book is called The Role of Love, and it's ROLE, which is the change within. And I did a play on words with that, Joanna. You ROLL, the die or the cube, you roll that outside of you. But the change actually is going to happen within. And so Role of Love is the name of the book. Inside the book, it talks about each one of the love languages and different stories, examples that about what you can do for that particular genre of love that day. We also talk about the role of authenticity, how this really has to be genuine for it to work for you and work for them. It has to be from the heart.
Yeah.
And so you're sending out love with purpose. It helps you almost have a theme for the day and a purpose for the day, whereas most people would live their life willy-nilly, come what may. And if I'm going to be angry, I'm going to be angry. If I'm going to be sad, I'm going to be sad. If I'm going to be happy, I'm going to be happy. What come what may for that day. This is different. You're choosing to have a very happy day by sending love out all day long. So that's what the book's all about. There is also a journal that's connected with it. For people that want to write what they wrote, it's more of a purposeful journal. You see that you can record what you rolled, opportunities you saw to love in that way, what you did about those opportunities. This really becomes what I call a love legacy journal, something that I would have loved to have passed on from me, from my mother or my grandmother or my grandfather. Instead, Joanna, I got a journal about the weather. The weather 60 years ago. Who wants to know what the weather was like 60 years ago? And I'm sure that that it was important to them, but I would have loved to know a little bit how they loved, what there was to love in their day, and what they did about it.
That is absolutely amazing. So how can this work for single people? Obviously, love is very associated with romantic love, right? But there are a lot of different kinds of love. So how can someone that is single take the most out of these resources you're sharing?
That's a great question, Joanna. And the answer is that I created this when I was single. Mm-hmm. And that I understood the romantic part that Dr. Chapman says in his book, that you do it to your significant other. I didn't have one. I didn't have anybody. I said, who the heck am I going to love? And then I realized, oh, I just get to love everybody. And it was really important for that to happen in my life, because I needed that character change, then I needed that consistency of being able to and having to, so to speak, but having that opportunity to love all day long. I don't know anyone that is with their significant other 24/7. No one, zero. And if there's probably a lot of couples or people like that, that they don't want to be with their significant other 24/7. They need a break. And so for those people, this really works well. You can just love everyone you come in contact with. And that's the whole key to this versus what Dr. Chapman was doing. This is not about romantic. It could be, but it's not right now. This is the decency of life that we're talking about, the decency of sending out good things, watching for good things of other people, and watching for the good of other people. It's not about romance at all. But let me just say this about this. This is the stair steps, just like I was stair stepping to anger. These are the stair steps to the higher laws of love. The higher laws of love, you just do kindness, 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 and you get to the higher laws of love, like forgiveness or mercy or charity or compassion or intimacy or empathy or sympathy. If you're insulting, 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 insulting someone, you think they're going to forgive you for what you've done? Now you've got more things to be forgiven for as you're making those insults. It doesn't work that way. It has to be kindness stacked upon kindness. And I think that stacking that I did of the annoyances to get to anger was really something that I had to go through in my life to be able to understand the other side of it, of stacking kindness on kindness on kindness to get to these higher laws. It's really important. Great, great way for single people to develop themselves, develop this basics so that they can get to those higher laws of love. And they want that companionship. And I think companionship would, again, be one of those higher laws of love.
Yeah, I love that. And I might even add that we can use this cube for our own selves, because sometimes it's very curious, because I'm thinking about my own experience. My main love language is word of affirmations. Yet, I am terrible having this inner dialogue with myself sometimes. So maybe I would benefit of giving myself some word of affirmations. So maybe this cube we can use to have this love language with our own selves, to nurture that self-esteem, nurture that self-confidence, so that we can then externalize all of that.
Absolutely. And I think that as we mentioned before, that your watch, change the focus, Joanna, of what's wrong, from what's wrong with you to what's right with you. And when you change that focus, it's going to really, really help you feel that self-love too. When you focus on what's right with you, it's just going to be, your day's going to be better. And then it's going to be a whole lot easier to focus on what's right about other people as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, absolutely. So how can people find out more about you? How can people connect with you? How can they buy your resources?
Good question, Joanna. The cube actually is only available from my website. Mm-hmm. And that's roleoflove.com, R-O-L-E of love.com. They can buy the cube, the book, and the journal from that website. Mm-hmm. But for international people, probably the best way is to do is to go on Amazon and type in my name. If you type in Role of Love, you're going to get Love This, Love That, Love a Million Things, because they'll key in on the word love. If you'll type in just my name, it should get pretty close to it, right to the book and the journal. And then I'd be glad to send a die internationally, or I can share with some hacks of how you could use mm-hmm. the die. There are some electronic versions of the die rolling as well. If you join on the Instagram under Roll of Dice, it's Roll
we'll
of
leave
Love.
Everything in the show notes that people can go and click and go directly to you.
So on Instagram, they do a daily Roll of Love as well. So they'll roll the die. You'll see it electronically. I think it's nice to have it in your hands. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I've forgotten to roll the die, so I keep one in my pocket. And as I'm walking around, say, "Oh, I forgot today," and then I can roll it and then get on the program. But it's really easy to do. But it's so simple that some people will think, "Well, that's not going to do anything for me." Just trust that it will, and that just it's these easy things, the simple things of life, that will bring great returns.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much. It was amazing having you here share your wisdom and your knowledge of the love languages with such a playful approach. And I think that is what's going to really make a difference is you bring out the fun aspect to all of this. And it just is entertaining and it's educational at the same time. So thank you for coming on the podcast, and I'm very happy to be here with you today.
So glad to be with you, Joanna. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
If you are fully committed to your growth, I invite you to book a free inner peace assessment call with me to create an action plan to manifest a life worth living with more inner peace and self-love. For more inspiring content, follow me on Instagram at Coach Joanna Calado and subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Intuitive Being. I will leave everything in the show notes so that you do not miss a thing. I'll see you on the next episode, and until then, slow down and trust yourself.